Before we introduce our dear friend, and I do mean he's a friend, let me read this because it sets the tenor to the evening. The Bible says in Matthew 16, when the Pharisees came to Jesus to test him, they asked him if he could show them a sign from heaven. And Jesus answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather for today, because the sky is red and threatening. You hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Later on, it says, and when Jesus came with the disciples to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some others say Jeremiah, and some say one of the prophets. Listen to this. But Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Peter is pebble, little stone, little pebble. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When Jesus said that to Peter, he said, you are a little pebble, but what you said a moment ago is the rock foundation of the gospel. Don't think Peter is the rock. You would abuse the Greek language. Peter's not the rock. Peter's name means a pebble. The rock that came out of Peter's mouth was what flesh and blood revealed to him, what did not reveal to him, but the Father in heaven. And that was, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response is that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Why? His church hangs on to that proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the foundation. The church will never fail. You see, Pastor, a church in my neighborhood started and fell apart. The local church failed. It may not have been of God. But his church will not fail. Any work of God that is built upon the word to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, will never fail. Will never fail. God's church cannot fail. And that fact is what needs to be communicated in this day and age in which we live. Remember that, church. Take courage. The church of Jesus Christ will never fail. Listen, nobody wants to hang out with losers, and nobody wants to sign up to be on the losing team. So listen, hang out with Jesus and sign up to be on the winning team. And that is, his church will never fail. Listen, will the world attack us? Yeah. Will they kill us? Possibly. Could all this go up in flames? Absolutely. That doesn't mean we lost. Listen, where we're going is heaven. And our witness is all about his glory. Our witness is all about him being the Lord and Savior. And so listen, to talk about the future of the church, the future of family, the future of our nation is our dear friend who has been just about everything under the sun. He has been a Marine. Well, excuse me. Once a Marine, a police officer. He worked in media, counterterrorism. He held elected office in Louisiana. He works all over this nation. During the Trump administration, President Trump consulted him numerous times, and in fact, in some ways, made him an unofficial ambassador to represent President Trump's desire to get embassies around the world to move their embassies to Jerusalem, as many nations did follow this American example. But he has served and has had the longest serving presidency at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. He appears on just about every news channel you can think of. But he's a defender of the faith, a lover of the church. He's an ordained pastor. He is a warrior for the kingdom of God and for your rights as Americans. And I'm happy to say that he's a tremendous, very, very close dear brother. We probably talk weekly, if not more often than that. You guys give a warm welcome to Tony Perkins.
Thank you. Great to be back home.
Exactly. By the way, he just, what time did you land after all?
5 o'clock.
So.
I was glad you sang an extra song.
I actually told Gia, you don't know this, I told Gia, keep leading us in worship until you see the whites of my eyes. That's what I told her. That's what I told her. So, Tony, Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, and that he is our foundation. He is our truth, our pillar. And we need that now more than ever with what's going on in our world. And I can't think of anybody better than you to have this remarkable presence for us tonight, because you are an American treasure, because you not only represent Jesus without wavering, you've done so in some of the most powerful offices in our nation, including the Oval Office itself. And we look around right now and we see the direction of our country and the things that are going on. So we'll talk about this tonight. We'll talk about the state of the family. I think these people here would love to hear about H.R. 5 and what that means. Because let's be honest, most here are hard workers, and you don't have time to check out the news, and you think Sacramento or Washington is looking out for your best interest. And
so I got Tony, a news flash for you.
Yeah, yeah. Tony, you dive in anywhere you'd like, and please bring these people up to speed.
Well, first off, I am just so thrilled to see this many people out on a Wednesday night, and I know it's because of your teaching, Pastor Jack, and that you preach the word. And so I am once again grateful for Calvary Chapel Chino Hills being a church that proclaims the word of God. That's what America needs.
Yeah.
Look, these are challenging times. I am not going to put any kind of spin on it. The policies that are coming out of this administration are literally from the pit of hell. Within hours of taking office, forcing you as a taxpayer to be involved in funding abortions, not just here in America, but around the world. The attack on religious freedom. The attack on our children, with forcing schools, this transgenderism on elementary schools, secondary schools, colleges, and our nation's military. Our military has now become, once again, a laboratory for social experimentation. They're treating our men and women in uniform as if they were laboratory rats for True. Their social policy. So America is in a very, very, I would say, precarious situation. In fact, Jack, I was just mentioning to you, we're on this 2-year journey through the Bible called Stand on the Word, and we just finished Jeremiah this morning. And if you look at Jeremiah in the final chapters, chapters 46 through 50, you know, God judges Judah for its idolatry, and then all of the nations around are judged for their idolatry, and then Babylon is ultimately judged for its idolatry and its pride. And I just read on the plane on the way out here, in California, they are now considering in their school curriculum to where they're going to be teaching these pagan religions from the indigenous people and having the students actually go through these incantations and pray to these pagan gods. You know, we've seen idolatry in different forms, but now it is so blatant. I mean, we're in the 11th hour, and I believe America is in serious trouble. We are literally shaking our fist in the face of God and challenging God. If you're really God, you do something.
Yes.
And he is God, and he will do something.
Right.
And that's why I believe it is incumbent upon the church, followers of Jesus Christ, to cry out for God's mercy and a move of his spirit like we've never seen before in this nation. Mm-hmm. And so I say all that to say this, I'm excited because we can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. We're not going to have an election for 2 years, and they're talking about eliminating the filibuster. We've got a 50-50 Senate, 51 when you count the senator you sent us, who's now vice president from California here. I wish I had a return address.
Actually, she's been here quite a bit since she was, since she's taken power. I don't know if you know that or not, but she's been to L.A. quite a few times. Yeah. Did you not know that?
When you look at that, there's nothing that we can do. They're talking about eliminating the filibusters that they can ram through. You mentioned the Equality Act, the H.R. 1, which is the voting bill, which would essentially federalize all elections. We can't do anything about it, but God can.
That's the only hope.
In fact, their majority is razor thin. And the Lord can change the majority makeup of the United States Senate overnight. And so my prayer is that if we have a government that is going to, and believe, I do pray. I pray every morning for the president and the vice president. And I pray for Congress, as we're instructed to do. And I pray That's right. God would actually bless them if they do what is in accordance with his word and his truth. And I pray that they would succeed by doing what is right in the eyes of God. But then I also pray that if they go counter to the truth of God, that confusion, and they would be confused, confounded, and that the Senate and the Congress would lose their majority if they work against God. And I have no problem praying that.
Absolutely.
But we're at a point, Pastor Jack, where God is going to have to intervene. And we know that he will, if God's people will earnestly seek him. And I think we are primed for a powerful, powerful move of God.
Yeah, I do believe that. I believe that where he is, like so often in Israel's existence, he stripped away the things that they leaned upon.
Right.
He even gently rebuked them regarding their leaning upon Assyria as though it was a broken reed, a bruised reed. You know, think about a cattail in the wetlands. You know, it's fragile to begin with, but when it's bruised, it's an indicator how weak it is. And why would you lean on it? Israel was leaning on a foreign nation for strength. And you look at what we're doing, and we're leaning upon foreign gods. We're leaning upon entities and policies that are doomed and destined and will absolutely fail. If that happens, this is where we as a nation always have an ember burning, and that is we can always return to the God that started this nation. I pray that he keeps that path open. Our founding fathers did something wonderful for us, and that is they entered into a covenant with God, and we pray that the Lord would be merciful to us. But church, what Tony is saying is that deliverance is not going to come even from a 2022 election. Deliverance is going to come from God's presence. He brings the deliverance. And even if things change politically, we learned in this last election, we don't know anyone. We don't know anyone anymore. God knows their hearts. So we pray that God would install those that he can move in the heart, like a Cyrus or like a Nebuchadnezzar. And didn't God give us an example when he took a guy, the guy that you thought would be the last possible chance to be president of the United States, God took a Donald Trump and blessed his decisions because Trump's decisions and actions brought glory to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God can do that again to any politician.
Yeah, I had a reporter ask me yesterday about Joe Biden. He said, you know, Joe Biden is a man of faith. So what do you think about his policies? And I said, well, wait a minute, let me go back to the previous president where they questioned his faith because he wasn't public about any of his, you know, his personal faith. I said, but his policies were very clear. His policies were in alignment with the biblical faith that so many of us as evangelicals hold. So we supported him. This president, he may proclaim a faith, but I can say without hesitation, his policies are antithetical to biblical truth, and so I can't support these policies. In fact, I have to work against these policies.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. By the way, there should be a number that will appear on the screen for you to text your question, and I promise you, we'll do that tonight. We never get to questions enough. We'll do that tonight, but you'll see that number on the screen, and both here and those of you that are viewing right now, you can text your question to Tony, and we'll pick it up later in the evening together, but Somebody will say, well, Pastor, you need to submit to the authorities and you need to embrace these policies.
Oh, I left my mask in the car.
Wait, let me. Oh. Yeah. Are they going to let you back into Washington, D.C. after being in California?
I have to sneak in as it is. Chuck Colson used to say something that I didn't catch at first, but then it is so true. He said that the politics is downstream from the culture. And we often look at Washington as really shaping the culture. Washington is a reflection of the culture, but the culture is downstream from the church. And we often think that we're powerless to change things. But God has entrusted to us as followers of Him to actually be the change agents.
Yes.
But what we have to do is live out our faith in such a way that it impacts the world around us. And that is the very thing that is under attack right now. And yes, we should abide by the authorities when they are working in accordance with truth. But
that's right.
We've come to a point where I see what is happening. We've talked about this before. We actually did an event here, Freedom Sunday, here at Calvary Chapel. I believe that there is an effort to try to muzzle, restrain, and silence the church. Absolutely. Let me give you a couple of numbers real quick here. I don't think we've talked about this before. In this last election, how many of you know the term SageCon? Everybody heard that? Just raise your hand if you heard that time. Well, you're on the left coast, so you probably haven't heard it. Just picking. SageCon is a term that George Barna has coined about 8 years ago. It's called spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives. You're probably, most of you in this room are SageCons. Spiritually active, you come to church, you read your Bible, you pray, you're following the Lord, and you're governance-engaged. You are involved in your community. You're involved, whether it's in politics or community service, because of your faith. I wouldn't be in politics if I weren't a believer.
Right.
It's nasty business. But I'm there because God called me. You're involved because of your faith. So anyway, SageCons are about 9% of the population, about 23 million Americans. They're 9% of the population. They were 14% of the vote in 2020. They were 30% of Donald Trump's vote for president. They were almost a third of the president's vote. Now, here's another statistic about the SageCons that will blow you away. In this last election, the SageCons turned out at 99%. Unheard of. Our efforts of voter registration, voter education have worked. It's been working, and Christians are voting. I share that to say the left may not know the terminology, but they understand that Bible-believing evangelicals are a threat to their power. And so they want to silence, they want to cancel, they want to deplatform Christians. And those who, not all Christians who speak biblical truth. They're happy with churches that don't preach the word, that have a social gospel. They're not happy about churches say, thus says the Lord.
That's right.
And so what we need to take from that, you're always gauging your opponent as to what they see as the greatest threat. And then that's what we need to double down on. We need to continue to speak truth. We need to resist this cancel culture. And as I mentioned in Jeremiah is amazing, just an amazing prophet. And they tried to cancel him multiple times. But God said, look, I'm going to make you a bronze wall. They will not be able to take you out. You just continue to proclaim truth and do what I tell you to do, say what I tell you to say, and I'm going to take care of you. And that's the same thing that Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The church is going to prevail. The church of Jesus Christ will prevail. We are on the winning side. We just have to follow the Lord, be obedient to the Lord, and allow Him to bring about the results in His time.
And I love that, you guys, because for those of you who might be new to this church or just you're even here tonight just because Tony's here, and you want to hear and watch and see. Someone inevitably will say, but that's politics. We're the church. That's politics. We draw a line. We don't get involved. But you do know, right, that if that's a biblical approach, then you've got to probably throw away most of your Bible. Because Esther was in politics. Daniel was in politics. Jeremiah, he didn't want to be, but God called him to speak to the governmental leaders. On and Isaiah, on and on it goes. And in fact, and we need to take this away for all of us, Paul the Apostle, when needed, he would always pull his Roman trump card. Remember? He would always pull his card and say, wait a minute, I'm a Roman citizen and I appeal to Caesar. He used that, and don't think that's the only time he used it, because for Paul's missionary journeys, for him to traverse the kingdom, the empire of Rome, to do what he did, he went from province to province to province. How did he do that? They went in on his credentials as a free Roman-born citizen. He used that freedom God gave him to advance the gospel. And we need to know that as a church, as a people. We have lost that, or maybe we never had it. I don't know. But I know that you guys have it. But I got to tell you, you don't separate out and say, well, that's the secular and this is the sacred. Under God, it all is sacred to him. Even the White House tonight, even though it's cursing God, it's mocking God, it's sacred to God. He uses powers that be. The Bible says he'll even use the wrath of man to praise his name, to bring honor and glory to his name. Tony, real quick about that. We approached nearly 19,000 recall signatures here at this church. We're very Gavin Newsom recall effort.
Who's that?
But California, I know he's not going to believe it. I'm going to tell him right now. But California, from 2020, November of 2020, things have been pretty exciting here. Because what you guys don't realize in the rest of the nation is the election, though it didn't go well regarding the presidency, California flipped 4 congressional seats that weren't even supposed to budge. Mm-hmm. And that was an amazing thing. And there were tremendous down ballots. No, by the way, you guys, the progressives are not talking about what I'm about to tell you. In California, in local elections up and down this state, down ballot went overwhelmingly conservative, and many of them, according to our good friend Shannon Grove up in the mid valley of the state, many of those that ran for office were believers, and they won. But you don't see that in the news. They're not going to report that, because that doesn't play into the narrative. California has been really off the radar media-wise, hasn't it, regarding election stuff? Well, trust me, they're going to double down hard in 2022 because they know they're losing California. And that's why you're not hearing much. But if you look at who got elected, looks pretty promising. We need to stay at doing righteousness. That's what I like to call it. Doing righteousness is doing the right thing. And you cannot say, well, voting, that's for the sinner. Well, you can't do that anymore. You need to do what's right until Jesus takes you home.
Well, when Paul said that whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, Amen. Do all for the glory of God, I think charting the course for your community, your state, and your nation is more important than where you eat or what you drink.
Yep.
And so, to Pastor Jack's point, and this is where I think our culture has tried to segment, and this is the problem with the Equality Act and the Fairness for All, which is this Equality Act light. And you see this often in government, that they want to carve out religious freedom for churches. But churches are not the entity that were guaranteed under our Constitution the freedom of religion. You, the citizens of this country, were guaranteed the freedom of religion and of speech. And so in our country, what made it so profound and so powerful, and what brought about, you know, American exceptionalism, is that what was called, and now this has been canceled, you can't say this anymore, the Puritan work ethic, which the Puritans, when they believed that everything they did was an act of worship to God. And so how can you keep your faith out of the workplace when it is a part of your worship? How can you keep it out of the classroom and that is a part of your worship that you owe to your Creator? And so we just have to demand that is our right as Americans to worship God wherever we put our feet, and we will not be silent.
Tony, with what you're saying, that is a God-given freedom that He has given to this nation.
Absolutely.
But what do you say to those who would say, oh, Tony, no, we're Christians and we're a ministry and we don't do that stuff?
Well, I would say, get behind me, Satan. It's a lie.
Yep.
It's what Jesus said to Peter.
It is a lie, because here's the deal. If you don't stand, roll back the hands of time. When Christians didn't stand, the regime took over. You say, yeah, but how could the church ever defeat the regime? Well, it's not for us to defeat the regime. It's for us to stand. God defeats evil. Imagine if the German church would have fasted and prayed and sought the face of God. God would have intervened.
Yeah.
I think God was standing at the border of the Reich, waiting to be invited in by the church. But the church compromised. The church went with all of these social programs. The church fell in love with the social engineering of Hitler and his minions. Think of it. And they thought it was and then to seal the deal, Hitler promised all the pastors in Europe or in Germany more pay. More pay. Every Sunday, you're going to be paid more if I take over. And today we have a time when ministries are defending. There are pastors that are saying, well, you know what? Biden's good. Just give him some time. It's all going to turn around. The ones that were yelling at us about being political to defend pro-life, right? And to vote for a president who was the most pro-life president in modern history, they attacked us, but then they turned right around and supported Biden. And Biden now is putting the exterminating of babies on steroids. And they're saying to us, he's got to find his footing. Listen, when you capitulate like that, when you compromise like that, your integrity, if you have any, is jello. It's moving constantly. And you can't follow someone who wavers like a reed in the wind. And that's what we're seeing today in America. We're seeing Christianity falter while some stand, you. And I had someone on Sunday say, Pastor Jack, we're visiting. We just can't take it anymore. And I felt so bad for them. They said, it's so sad to see the church is being so divided in America. And I said, I don't share your concern. No, if you're here, you know who I'm talking about. I said, I don't share your concern. Here's the reason why. The churches that are pulling away, they were never with us in the first place. This whole stuff exposed this. It exposed. And you've got this whole different parallel universe going on. But Tony, share with us, what is HR5? What is this thing?
Well, this is HR5, the Equality Act, is every bad idea you can think of. It is an attack on religious freedom. It is an attack on women. It is an attack on parents. It is an attack on students. It is an attack on human sexuality. What this would do is take some of the early executive orders that Joe Biden did in terms of transgenderism and, you know, essentially telling schools you have to allow for boys, biological boys, to go into women's or girls' bathrooms, in their showers. Play sports, and that's what this does, but so much more extensively in the workplace. It would affect churches. Now, that's where I mentioned the Fairness for All, which is like, quote unquote, a compromise bill. Well, this is what it does. It carves out religious freedom for churches and religious institutions. It says, well, you'll be protected from these far-reaching radical ideas for now. And that's the way carve-outs always work. Because I've been in this for 25 years, and I've watched how they do this. They'll carve out the most organized vocal opposition and say, we'll leave you alone. And so they conquer by dividing. And so they'll push it on everybody else, doctors, lawyers, teachers, you name it, florists, bakers, anyone else will be left out there on their own to this radical agenda while the church says, I've got mine, only to find out 3 years later they're going to come back and take it from churches as well. Look, you can never compromise with evil. And this, I'm just going to say this. I don't like to be controversial, but I'll say it. When you hear all this about common ground, we cannot have common ground with those who do not recognize truth.
That's right. 100% true.
What fellowship has light with darkness?
That's right.
And if we can't agree that God created male and female, we're going to have a hard time finding common ground.
Right.
Because Jesus himself said that in Matthew chapter 19. Have not you read from the beginning that God created them male and female?
Right.
We don't even need to be having this debate.
Right.
And we don't need to entertain it. And we don't. And I will tell you, this goes to these woke pastors who want to use the right pronoun. Look, let me tell you, there's two pronouns. He, him. Her, she. Use those pronouns.
That's right. That's exactly right. So for decades, if not centuries, those who practice pediatrics and psychiatry said that regarding this genderism stuff that's going on, that it was a mental disorder. That's how it's recorded in medicine. So here's what I'm sarcastically bringing this out. I'm going somewhere with this that where you may not think so up front. If all of this genderism stuff's taking place to skew the lines and to confuse people, and it's not limited to the United States, you know, this is global at the same time. If all of those previous researchers and physicians were correct in their documentation that this is a mental illness, gender dysphoria is a mental illness, that's the way it's been categorized for decades, if not centuries. I'm just telling you what the doctors have said. Politicalism has changed the conversation. That being true, why is this happening globally? Why is it happening on a mass scale? Either A, there is a gigantic issue that's going through the atmosphere of mental illness, or the Bible says in the last days it's going to be like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where there's immorality. You see, well, Jack, what about these young people? I talk to young people all the time. I talk to young people in the courtyard and in the foyer and other places. And it's interesting to me that the young people tell me that their teacher is the one that said to them that they might be a boy or a girl. It's not the kid. Or in other cases, parents refusing to identify that their child is a female or a male and say, we're not going to decide what it is yet. We're going to let... Or they actually dress them another way, a child. In any other culture of any other age, that would have been child abuse. Something has happened. I believe the answer is demonism. I believe it's satanic. I believe we're watching a global event take place that the Bible warned us about all along. And Satan traffics in the world of confusion. And if he can get someone confused in this area, he robs them of their God-given gender because he made that person a male or a female for a purpose to bring him glory. If Satan can get them confused there, young, early, notice Satan always goes after the young. Then if he can't kill him in the womb, he'll kill him in the head and confuse them. I believe we're watching a global demonic sway of the wicked one upon our culture in the world. And that sounds harsh, but I'm sorry, it's true. It's just true.
You know, sex as God created it between a man and a woman in the bounds of marriage it's a wonderful thing that God has created, but as we've taken it outside of God's context, what's happened is that we've begun to worship sex, and sex never fulfills outside of those boundaries. And so it leads to a pursuit of more evil, and it leads to abuse. It leads to people being abused, children, young people, and it changes their sexuality because they want to hide. They want their hurting. And so here's the role of the church. And this is the tension that comes in the church and walking according to the teaching of God, is that, number one, we have to stand for truth. But we stand for it in love, knowing that speaking that truth in love is the life preserver that we're throwing to those individuals that are looking for help. They're hostile on the outside, but they know they need help. And so we have to reach them. And we tend to go, the church tends to go one way or the other. We don't want to speak the truth because we want to love people into Christ. And you love them by speaking truth, but we speak the truth because we want people to be free. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to so many people who were bound up in those lifestyles that they were hostile to the message, but it was that message of the gospel that saved them. And there was churches that were bold enough to proclaim it. There were believers that loved people enough, they were willing to be rejected by them for telling the truth. And that's what Jesus did. Yeah. Jesus was willing to come to earth to be rejected by mankind to save mankind. And we are to be just like our Savior. Amen. And so we have to speak this truth to a culture that is hostile to this truth, that wants to cancel us, to deplatform us because we speak it. But we can never get an edge of anger or bitterness. Mm. We can never speak out of hatred. We don't have hatred in our hearts. We have to continue to speak truth with a tender, compassionate heart, so that men, women, and children will come to know Him. And I believe, Pastor Jack, as you said, I agree with you. I believe that it is the unleashing of a demonic influence across this, around the globe. But here's the key. Here's what's so exciting to me, is that confusion is so widespread, so profound, that if we will just remain faithful to the truth and share it, we are going to see a reaping of the proportions we have never seen before of lost souls into the kingdom of God. Absolutely. This can be a great, era for the church.
That's absolutely true. That is so true. You guys, in a moment, we're going to start taking your questions.
Let me give out something on the Equality Act. Before we leave the Equality Act, if you'd like some information on that, text the word equality to 67742. That's 67742 to equality. Text the word equality, that number. Because here's what you're going to get. I'm going to give you information about it, but also a way for you to communicate with your elected representative, your senators on this. This is going to be before the United States Senate. There are those that want to eliminate the filibuster, so the legislative filibuster, so they can get this through. You need to contact your senators, just contact them. They need to hear from you regardless.
That's right.
They need to be held accountable, so contact them. If you're watching online, same thing, text equality to 67742. We all need to be participants in this. Our republic was made for participants, not spectators.
Yeah, exactly right. Right on. You guys, we have a question? Anybody? On the screen? Here we go. Do you think a lot of people voted for Biden because the left wore them down? Tony?
I think a lot of people voted for Biden because the left and the media lied to them. Look, the media is not to be trusted. The media had, and I used to be a reporter, and I was a defender of the media, but Once Barack Obama was elected, what I saw in the media was the media has become the opposition party to conservatives and to Christians. In fact, I don't even, I rarely talk to non-conservative media anymore. There's no reason to.
There's no reason.
Because number one, most of you aren't reading, listening to them. What they wanted to do, this is what the media is trying to do with their deplatforming and their canceling people out, is that they want you, when you go out, when you leave here, say on Sunday morning, you hear a message from Pastor Jack preaching the word, its application to your life and to the world around you. They want you to go back home. They don't want you to see that message affirmed on TV. They don't want you to hear that message affirmed on radio. They don't want that message affirmed in the newspapers or publications that you read. They want you to feel isolated and out of sync with the rest of the world. But the reality is, there are a lot of you in America who share your views and care about this country and want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, number one, you need to get to plug, you need to be plugged into your church. If you're watching online, you don't have a Bible preaching church, get in one. You need to be connected with news sources and resources that are speaking from a biblical worldview, affirming what the Word of God says, so you know you're not alone. That's what the left is, and you're going to see this increasing. You're going to see this increasing. You're going to see more of the left controlling the media and the narrative. They're just now starting to talk a little bit about what's happening at the border. Let me tell you what's happening at the border. I was at the, well, you went to the border with me about a year ago.
We went
down, I took a group of pastors to the border, and it was like a ghost town.
It's true.
Because the policies that the Trump administration put in place had solved the problem.
Well, Tony, we had agents tell us that. We had two agents out of the three departments tell us that when it was found out that the borders were going to be secured, everything just plummeted. Everything just dropped. It was
We went into the reception centers, and we had to look hard to find people. They just weren't there. Now, under this administration, I talked to a member of Congress yesterday who was down there on the border just this week, and they're being overrun at the borders. They're now having to find additional facilities to put these unaccompanied minors that are coming across the border, and many of them are being trafficked. I mean, this is horrific what is happening. But the media...
That's why Obama had to build cages.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? Because Obama just said the other day he didn't build the cages, that Trump built the cages. Obama built the cages because there was no control. And he didn't have control. And now they're going to have to do something again because it's out of control.
So this goes back to law, order. And what happens when we uphold the law, people are protected. Even those who were coming across the border were safer under the Trump administration. And now you have people in the Biden administration say, well, we're humanitarian. We're compassionate. And it's a crisis at our border. But my whole point in saying that was the media is not going to tell you that. You're going to have to look hard in the media for them to be critical of this administration. So the point is, be selective in where you get your information.
Smart. Good. What is the current administration changing in the support of Israel by the U.S.?
Well, they agreed they will not move the embassy, so that's staying in place. But they are putting Israel into, basically, they're just treating it as one big neighborhood over there. With the surrounding countries, where Israel has always enjoyed, and rightfully so, a closer, more privileged relationship with the United States.
Well, I'll answer that from my end, is the fact that Biden's policies are strengthening Iran. And Iran has proclaimed numerous times, we're dedicated to destroying Israel.
Well, it's interesting that they want to, the Biden administration wants to reopen this nuclear agreement, and Iran says, we don't even want to talk to you. They won't even talk to the Biden administration, but the Biden administration says, well, we can solve this with diplomacy. Well, you can if they won't talk to you.
Well, they're probably going to hold out until airplanes start arriving with cash.
Yeah.
Then they'll talk. I read an article the other day that Vice President Kamala was meeting with world leaders. Is President Biden coherent and in control?
I don't know about the first part. I don't know who she was meeting with, but I have some concerns about the second part.
I mean, that shouldn't be a secret. And by the way, we do need to pray for him because, listen, Jesus died for Biden. Jesus loves him. But he's not healthy. There's more and more videos you can see of his tremors.
I tell you what,
healthy.
Let me do this right now. Let's pray for him right now and for Kamala Harris. Father, we do lift up our president to you. Lord, he is the one that you have allowed to be in office at this time. And Lord, that's what your word says, and your word instructs us that we are to pray for those in authority. Now, we also know, Lord, that you give us a unique opportunity in this country to elect our leaders. And Lord, but even so, even if we didn't vote for these individuals, they are now the leaders of this country, and we pray for them. We pray for their health, their well-being. I pray that you would turn their hearts to you as you turn the rivers of waters.
Yes.
Lord. That, Lord, they would be turned toward righteousness, and they would do that which is pleasing in your sight, which brings glory to you, that is in alignment with your word. But, Lord, I also pray that you would not allow those to have this trust of the American people in these positions that affect the world to do that which is counter to your truth. May you frustrate them in their efforts that run counter to your truth, to the benefit of your people, and, Lord, to this nation and to the world. Lord, may confusion come when they seek to do that which is counter to the light.
Yes.
And, Father, we pray the same for over Congress. We pray, Lord, that as they lean into the truth and to your word, that, Lord, you would prosper their efforts. But when they run counter, trying to redefine human sexuality, to try to take away the rights of people to vote and to determine their own future, Lord, frustrate those plans.
Yes.
May gridlock grab that city, and may nothing happen in Washington, D.C. that is counter to the truth of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Was there widespread voter fraud? If so, is anything being done about it?
Very good question. Let me use the right terms here. Mm-hmm. There were constitutional irregularities. Now, voter fraud is a specific issue of someone illegally casting a ballot. What happened in many states, let me just take Pennsylvania, for instance, where unilaterally the Secretary of State changed the procedures for voting and allowed people to vote and allowed money to come in the state through nonprofit organizations like funded by Mark Zuckerberg that put voting boxes, ballot boxes in specific precincts and allowed them to hire workers to go out and knock on doors and do what you actually do here in California for free. They paid them there with ballot harvesting. They would go knock on certain precincts, get them to cast their vote, and they would take them home. That is not fraud. It is a constitutional irregularity. It is the Secretary of State is the one that violated the Constitution of that state that gives the legislature the right to set the procedures and policies for elections. So that's one of the issues that when the president said there was widespread voter fraud, there was voter fraud, but not enough, as Bill Barr said, to overturn the election. It was the issue of changing these election laws. Now, here's the good news, and this is why the left is so worked up and wants to get H.R. 1 through the process. That's also over in the Senate now, is that you have about 38 states right now that have introduced more than 250 laws to go back and correct these mistakes of the last election so they won't happen again. That's the way our system works.
That's great news.
I mean, let me speak just very quickly from experience. I was elected in 1995. In 1996, I was a campaign manager for a U.S. Senate race. We lost the race by about 1,500 votes out of about 1.5 million. There was voter fraud. But we didn't. The law did not allow us, give us enough time to present our case. We had to take it to the U.S. Senate and You know, surprise, surprise, the Republicans didn't have the stomach for the fight, and so we lost the race. They seated the Democrat. But went back. I was in the legislature, and for the next 2 years, we changed our election laws. We required voter ID. We ended up eliminating the commissioner of elections, who was corrupt, and we put it under a nonpartisan position. And guess what? In the last 20-plus years, we've not had any major voter fraud to speak of. And also, my home state of Louisiana continues to trend red. When I was elected, we had one statewide Republican. Today, we have one statewide Democrat. Wow. Our entire legislature is almost Republican. So the issue is the system is working. Now, that's another thing you're not going to hear in the news. The news is not going to encourage you by telling you that state legislatures are fixing these problems that were surfaced in the last election that were exploited by the left because of the coronavirus. And so the Democrats don't want you to know that because they want to rush through this H.R. 1 as the solution. Yes. It is not the solution. It is actually codifying into law all of the irregularities that happened in the last election. So good news is, the states are responding. You need to contact your state legislators around the country that are working on these and encourage them to push back, change these laws, and resist what is happening in Washington, D.C.
I am so tempted. You know, if you and I were just talking alone right now and these people weren't here.
Well, just act like they're not there. What did you want to tell me, Jeff?
I would just say, Tony, how in the world, why can't people see that if you remove all of the political logos and figurines and colors, that there is a worldview over here that is so diabolical. They never claimed to have it. They never claimed to have any rules. They never said they had any rules to keep. They didn't say they wouldn't cheat, or they didn't say they wouldn't whatever. They never said they wouldn't do those things. And yet people flock to that team. And on the other side is a predominantly a group of believers that happen to occupy the bulk of a party, and there's a morality to it. You say, how can you say such a thing? Because just don't listen to any of them. Watch their policies that they craft. If you're a Democrat or Republican right now, look at the policies that are coming out of your team. And you've got to stop and face that music. Are you for the slaughtering of a baby up till birth? There's a team that's for that. Is there a team that preserves life? Is there a team that doesn't want any borders anywhere except around their own homes?
Yeah. Oh, around the Capitol.
Razor wire.
Yeah.
Do you hear what I'm saying? So how can you say that? Why don't you just calm down and think about it? There's a team that people keep voting for that's diametrically opposed to the Judeo-Christian worldview value of the scriptures. And there's a team with some people in it trying to uphold that. Not all of them. This is not a political issue. This is a collision of kingdoms.
It's spiritual.
Absolutely.
And there is darkness that has descended. And in part, you know, we get a lot of people that are kind of in the middle that are just, they've been force-fed by the media. They no longer think for themselves. And so they're easily led. I mean, by nature, we're easily led. That's why Jesus said we're sheep. You know, we're easily led. That's why we've got to make sure we get behind a good shepherd. That's why we've got to be feeding in the right pasture. It's why we've got to be led. And so we need godly leaders. We need to be in a church with godly leaders. But we need to be involved in electing these godly leaders that will lead the nation in the right way. But I'll just say, to that point on how people are being misled and following along with this, there is a darkness that Romans 1 actually kind of talks to this. I mean, we're seeing Romans 1 unfold here. As we've rejected God as the creator, we're no longer thankful in our hearts,
right,
and we're worshiping the creation rather than the creator. And with that, there's just a blindness that comes upon us, and we're seeing it. Because I see it in Washington all the time. It's like, I'm amazed. You can't see this? I mean, it's like, it's right in front of your face what you're doing. You're destroying the country. You can't see this. And so we need to be mindful that this is a spiritual battle. And that's why the weapons of our warfare mm-hmm. are not carnal, but exactly. they're spiritual. And so that's why as believers, we've got to be praying like we've never prayed before. And we've got to be so well equipped to use yes. the sword of the Spirit, the Word yes. of God. Yes. You know, that's, as if I could leave you with just one thing. As believers, what we need to be doing right now is going deeper into the Word
That's
of
right.
God. Because when you do that, you will not only find that it speaks to what we are seeing and dealing with today, but it will encourage you because you realize that this moment in time is just a part of God's overall plan from eternity Amen. To eternity.
Amen.
And so it just will bolster your faith and encourage you. So please, if you're not in the Word of God daily, find a program, find a read, just pick up, do something to get in the Word of God yeah, and read the Word of
right.
God.
That's right. Tony, this comes from a Canadian viewer tonight. Do you have any current intel on the jailing of Pastor James Coates here in Canada?
I do not.
I've heard a rumor that he's getting out or that he is out. Anybody know that? That he's out. He's getting out. On Friday, you've heard that he's getting out on Friday. So that's all we know. I know that that he was arrested for having Sunday services during mm-hmm. COVID in Canada.
But now, one thing that's different about Canada, as you probably know, Canada does not have a First Amendment right. They don't have a Bill of Rights. And so this is something that, you know, you need to talk to your kids about, your grandkids about. When we talk about our first freedom, our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, America is unique in that sense that we have... And the founders recognized that they didn't give us those rights. Those rights were given to us by God, and they're protecting them. That's their responsibility. And so we need to let young people know how important these freedoms are, lest we end up like some of these other countries.
I cringe with what you just said right now, because young people, so many young people today have not been taught to have an opinion. They no. Listen, when you talk to someone who has been crafted by media, you know, a great thing about getting older is that you can see through a lot of things as you get older.
Well, you can see.
You can see.
It's just, yeah.
But you can, even if you're blind, you can still hear
yeah,
through
okay,
this stuff.
All right.
To where someone pulls the, it's like someone pulls a string on a young person. And when you hear them talk, you got that from CNN, didn't you? No, I'm serious. That talk, you never thought that one up on your own, did you? You got that from fill in the blank. It's instantly obvious that that's not their own thinking. What breaks my heart is that we have lost, and I think our public school system has done this for decades, is that we have taken away the person's ability to think critically.
Yeah.
We have dumbed down people to not think critically anymore. And we've lost it so that when somebody says something about anything, it's received as blatant gospel to that person because they've never been taught to think. They've never been taught to question. Why is that so? God forbid. Can you imagine? Watch how conditioned we've all been. And this is a pretty rebellious church. If somebody says, you have to put on a mask.
No.
Now watch. Wait, what did you say to me? You have to put on a mask. Oh, actually, I do not have to put on a mask. Number one, I can walk out of your store. Number two, you brought up the topic of a mask. What does the mask do? No one asked the question. You should ask. Why? It's not to be mean. It's to cause them to think about their argument. How can individuals at the church collectively stand up for our freedoms and stop this counterculture? You must be new here. But there's a lot of new people here. So that's a great question. Register to vote. Get connected with Real Impact. Find out what's going on in our local, county, state, and national activities of the elected officials, those that are running for office, learn how to run for office. We've got things coming up this summer. We're going to have constitutional classes for you to learn about the Constitution, why it is what it is, how we got it, and how to use it. And then, listen, run for PTA, run for school board, run for mayor. Well, don't run against our great mayor. We have an amazing mayor. She loves the Lord and she's awesome. But whatever city you live in, go run for mayor. Get involved. View politics as a place of stewardship for the believer. Okay? That's what I would say. Tony?
Well, I would say underneath all of that, the foundation is to have a greater fear and reverence for God. Amen. Than you have a fear of man.
Yeah.
We have to get over our fear of what the world thinks and says. You know, who cares what they say about you on social media? Who cares what they say? You know, Jesus said, look, they hated me, they're going to hate you. And, you know, I've told them, go ahead and cancel me. Go ahead and cancel me, because I've already been canceled in Christ.
Amen.
I am crucified with Christ.
Yeah. That's good. If the time comes where Christian and conservative speech and programs are censored, which is now, pulled offline, we battle that, and off the air, how can we Christians stay connected?
Great question.
Yes,
and that is what we are actually working on right now, is to create these alternative platforms. In fact, I don't want to go into it yet, but we've got a big project we're working on even now, because we've shifted our whole strategy at FRC. You know, we used to speak broadly to the culture, and we're now focusing just on the SageCons, because you're not getting information anywhere else that will affirm you in your biblical thinking. And so we want to digest what is happening and get it to you in those terms, realizing that in the near future, I believe we will be pulled off of these social media platforms. Now, we're using them as we can, but only while we build these alternatives that are not going to be controlled by the left. But here's the key for one of the key principles is to be in a Bible preaching, Bible believing fellowship. That's why, you know, what does the scripture say? That we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And even more so, as the evil descends upon us. And so in these evil times, this is like the huddle. We need to come together. We need to get the plays. We need to be encouraged and then go out and influence the world around us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What is your advice for a conservative teenager in these times?
Be a world changer. Look, live boldly for the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord and trust Him. I have seen this in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of others. Those who trust the Lord, who will, like Jeremiah did, will obey Him in the face of great opposition, will find the Lord faithful. The Lord said, I will make you a bronze wall. That doesn't mean they're not going to kick at it, they're not going to hit it, they're not going to throw things at it. But He said, they will not prevail against you. Look, no one can prevail against you as you stand for the Lord God. Now, it may not work out the way we think, but God will be glorified. And ultimately, as believers, that is what it's about. It's not about us being able to check something off of our resume or live out our plan. Look, if I was living out my plan that I had marked out, and I'm a planner. I mean, I plan. I do everything by plan. But I'm going to tell you, if God would allow me to do my plan, I wouldn't be here.
Same, yeah.
I don't know where I would be. Probably not according to my plan, but the Lord's plan is better. Man plans his steps, but the man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so to those teenagers, first off, I'm thankful to asking that question. But I would say search, seek, pursue God in all of His glory. Draw close to the Lord. Be strong in Him.
Yeah.
And you will be amazed at what God will do in and through you. Because Ultimately, it's not about us. It's about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he can do a lot through a yielded vessel.
You know, I so love, Tony, what you're saying. And I think people expect the people who are on stage to say things like this. I think people think that. I used to think that when I was a young believer. Well, that's what those guys are supposed to say. What Tony just said a second ago, I have to just shout amen and ditto to that, because not only do we have plans as humans, but God in his goodness will frustrate our plans. Mm-hmm. Now, you who asked that question, that doesn't mean that God's going to frustrate your plans. You know what? When I saw your question go up on the screen as a teenager, before Tony even mentioned Jeremiah, I thought, hey, Jeremiah was a teenager. Daniel was a teenager. Mary was a teenager. Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Mark was a teenager. So pursue God. I want to commend to you a little tiny book. It took A.W. Tozer 26 years to write it. It's about that big. It's called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. Whoever asked that question, or for all of us, get your hands on that book. I read that book once a year. Just to challenge my heart to be in the right place. Because you know what? I get nervous. If I've got a clipboard and if I've got a plan and agenda to the year that's ahead of us, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it this way, and we're going to do it this fast, we're going to do it that slow, I get nervous. It's okay to have a plan, but he's Lord.
Yes.
Go ahead and have a plan, but let him be Lord. And he will step in. And you know what he does to your plan?
Blows it up.
He blows it up, but when it lands, it's better than what you could have ever have dreamt. I mean to tell you right now, you pursue him and all of these other things will be added to you.
Yes.
And to be that changer that Tony's talking about, I highly recommend, young man, young woman, whoever you are, teenager, who asked that question. I fell in love with the marriage of God's gospel, the word of God, with this unique nation we're in, because I read the mail. I like to put it this way. I read the mail of our founders. I got in the mailbox and I read Sam Adams' life. I read Jefferson's life. I read Washington's life. Some of these, Witherspoon, their lives. George Whitefield, what he thought about this nation. Charles Finney. Read their lives. Fall in love with the God that presides over nations. Because God affects nations with just a handful of people. And that young man or that young woman that asked that question a moment ago, that's the kind of people God will use to change the course of a nation. So do not count yourself out. Oh, I'm just a teenager. God says, did I not make your mouth? Didn't he tell that to Jeremiah?
He did.
Well, excuse me, Jeremiah. Who made your mouth? You did. Then I'll be in control of it. Who invented words? You did. Then I'm going to put my word in your mouth. I'm just going to point you in a direction. And when I say open it, open it. That's what Jeremiah did. Amazing. One final question. We got to go. How can we aid our non-believing friends and family to see through the wicked political agenda? You know what? I know this sounds simplistic. You got to get on your knees and you got to pray, because they've been blinded. The Bible tells us, Paul spoke to the Corinthians and said that those who do not see this gospel, they cannot see the truth, that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded their eyes so that they cannot hear it. They cannot see it. And the only way those demonic strongholds are broken is praying. Have you witnessed to them? Do they know the gospel? You need to make sure they know the gospel.
Yeah.
But after you've given them the gospel, you don't need to hound them anymore. You need to get on your knees and pray, because now it's a spiritual war.
Yeah, have conversations, not arguments. Mm-hmm. You know, we should be, and we can be confident in what we believe, because it's based on transcendent truth. God's word is unchanging. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we stand on his truth, we can have great confidence. And so we don't have to be combative when we talk and have conversations. So, you know, if you have that, if that's an issue with you, you know, just be praying that the Lord would give you the peace and the confidence to be able to communicate truth. Now, you don't want to be silent. You want to communicate that truth, but you want to do it in a way that gets through to the individual. Mm-hmm. Pray, then have a conversation mm-hmm. with him. Do not go silent. You do not win people over by silence. You win them over by speaking truth into their lives from a redemptive heart. You want them to come to an understanding of truth so that they might be free.
Yeah, well said. The only place I find silence proper is when the Lord says, when you come into my presence, we're to be in awe. We're to stand there in just awe and silence. Other than that, he said, go now to this people and speak. Tony, give them the gospel. Give them the absolute reason why we're even alive here and our absolute hope.
Yeah, if it were not for the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here. I would be as far away from the political world as I could be. But it was a part of the Lord directing my steps, even though it wasn't my plan. But when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we cannot sit back and watch a world around us groping for answers in darkness. And so when we come to that personal relationship, when we, you know, we all come to a point, or we have to come to a point where we realize we can't fix ourselves. And so if we can't fix ourselves, we certainly can't fix the world. We can't fix our spouse. We can't fix our children. But we have to come to the end of ourselves and just cry out to the Lord and receive that forgiveness from him and be made into a new creation. And with that comes a compassion and a love for other people, people you don't even know. You know, that's what's made America so great, is that it still has this in our DNA, is this Christian ethic that says we do things for people we don't even know.
That's right.
It's what Jesus, you know, Jesus gave. He was a servant. He came to this earth, lived, died, was buried, and resurrected so that you and I might have life.
Amen.
And so if you're listening tonight, and you might be angry at some of the things that we were saying because you see the world differently, you're certainly entitled to that view. But I would ask you this more important question is, where will you be for eternity? Where is your eternal destination? Now, I believe we should be engaged in this temporal world in which we live, but ultimately, it comes down to, do we know the Lord Jesus Christ, and will we be with him forever in eternity, or will we be separated from God in a place that we know is hell? Eternity is a long time. And I would appeal to you tonight that if you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, that you do that. You reach out to him. He's loving. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And it's just a matter of reaching out and asking him, saying, Lord, tonight I realize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And I see Jesus Christ as that Savior, and I want you to come into my heart to change me, transform me, and make me into a new creation. And if you do that, your world is going to change. Mm-hmm. And when your world changes, you can change the world around you.
Yeah. Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we pray for where it all starts, actually, where it all begins, and that's part of Saturday's great outreach to men, is that it begins with one individual, and our nation needs men who fear you, men who tremble at your word. And Lord, we need women of God. Father, we pray that you would begin to heal. There's no verse in the Bible, there's no chapter that demands that there cannot be a last-minute revival before your coming.
Yes.
We're not doomed. I know many people that are astute to Bible prophecy, just kind of in some ways, carelessly, maybe haphazardly, just point their finger around and see all the terrible things and say, well, Jesus is coming. This is great. This is great. No, no, listen, Jesus is coming. But families do not have to perish. States do not have to implode. Nations do not have to go godless. We pray, Lord, for one last bit of mercy for our nation. God, will you provoke us to pray and to seek your face and to heal our land? Will you purge, Lord, the sin in every home that's represented here tonight? The idolatry, the worship of things, pornography, hate. Father God, we pray that you'd move upon our land. There's no hope if we look at a political deliverer. There's no hope. We get that. But we have read your word. And your word tells us there's always hope in the house of God. There's always hope from heaven. Father, may all of this time and this moment in which we're in lead to a dramatic, as Tony said earlier tonight, that we would be on the cusp of the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that this nation has ever seen. That across this land, revival would begin to break out from town to city to state. And Lord, that it would be heard that 100 are getting saved, 1,000 are getting saved, 5,000 are getting saved, 25,000 people stood and prayed, that there'd be 50,000, 100,000, 1,000,000 people bowing the knee in the streets of America. God, you've done it in the past in the great awakenings of this nation. Will you do it one more time, we pray? And Lord, as I pray that, I can almost hear you say back, will you all ask me? Will you ask? Lord, in our feebleness tonight, we ask. We must even ask you tonight, forgive us of our prayer. It must be tainted some way. But hear us, God. Pour out your spirit. I pray for this church specifically, that you would keep our doors open. God, that you'd give us favor. And Father, that we would be faithful to what you've allowed us to be involved in as a people. And Lord, I pray as the pastor of this church that when we get to heaven, Lord God, that you would be able to pull these people over to the side and say, now, let's take a look at what I had a chance to do through you. Shock them all, Father. Surprise them all. May we all stand in heaven dumbfounded that this person, that person, this city, that country heard the word of God by virtue of what's happening here. Please, we beg of you, Jesus. Bless Tony. He's got a lot of things going on this weekend, especially the conference. And Lord, that all that's before him and the Family Research Council. We ask you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you'd be honored. In your name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.